I had sex with
someone. Oh, oh, fantastic. How was that?
It was great.
Excellent.
I came twice.
Fantastic.
Are you recording? Okay. Bleep out those memes.
I will.
Welcome back, Double Teamed Fam. How are we doing today?
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We actually have a video this time for the episode because we're not feeling lazy, but we are feeling tired. But today we have a great guest. You know, our comment section about a week or two ago had a really hard time with the thought of men exploring their sexuality. So we brought someone who would have some great insight on that. And he's a dear friend. He's BFFs with my partner, Cody. So yeah, welcome, Sean. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to preface this conversation with one of my favorite moments with Sean was at a sex party. When I was blowing Cody, I was on my knees blowing Cody, and I look up, and he's making out with Sean. And I was like,
What?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that?
I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
So jealous.
I loved it. It was hot.
I love watching men make out.
I know. It was great.
It's so hot. Like I remember that when I took my ex-husband to, when we went to our first sex party, and I was like, I was on my knees blowing him and some guy, and then I look up, and they're both making out, and I was like, yeah! So I was so excited.
Okay, so you've experienced it. Then why would you be jealous?
Well, no, because I just think you and Cody would probably look great making out together.
They do.
So I've heard.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there.
No, not at all.
Anyways, Sean, so you're polyamorous.
I am, yep.
And then, but what do you identify as, like, sexually? What would you consider yourself?
So I do refer to myself as bisexual.
Okay.
And that's been something that it's felt like something a lot of other people have known before I knew and was willing to say it to the world.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that tracks for most people.
Yeah. And I've heard that a lot, but the most notable one, for me was, back in late April, I actually came out to my mom about polyamory.
Yeah. Okay.
She has been doing her best. There's been a lot of love and care and how she's dealt with that and worked through her feelings on the matter.
Mm-hmm.
During that conversation, she definitely, she had a lot of big feelings about it. And there was a moment where there was a bit of a lull and she actually just kind of asked point blank. She goes, "So are you bisexual then?" And I told her, "Yeah, I consider myself to be." And she was far less upset or surprised by that revelation.
Yeah.
And there was definitely, for me, like, thanks, but hey.
No, I think that's fair.
You know? And and as I really began leaning into it and exploring it, my wife at the time was not at all surprised and in fact said, "Yeah, I always kind of thought." So like we'd been together since high school and she was like, "I always kind of thought." One of my very good friends identifies as bisexual and he made a post last year for Pride saying like, "Hey, even though I'm married to a woman and I've never had a male partner, like I do consider myself bisexual and I've played with men." And
do we
so,
know this person?
No, okay. This is a friend from high school, a very dear friend of mine. And so when I saw that, it was like, oh my gosh, like I feel compelled to like reach out and say, "Dude, this is something new, but me too." And he's like,
<Wobbing.
laughs> yeah. And he was just like, "Oh yeah, I always kind of wondered." Mm. And so like, there's just this track record of people who have been close to me.
Mm-hmm.
A good friend of mine from college, who's a gay man. When I told him about it, he was like, "Yeah, I always wondered if you just like really liked me as a person or if."
Did you feel sexually attracted to him though? I'm curious.
I mean, to an extent. Yeah.
Okay.
It's been really like the nature of my spontaneous desire for men has been really kind of along this line of not being totally able to tell whether I like wanted to be him or be with him, right? It's exclusively been like very like masculine presenting muscular guys.
Mm-hmm.
And my was certainly that like at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, still is, like he still looks great. It's been really interesting actually to kind of take a look back at my history of like deep friendship with men and exposure to men and kind of think, well, hold on a sec. Like, was there something, mm-hmm. was there something was deeper that? There yeah. going on or like, were we just really good friends or were we really good friends?
Yeah.
Right. Like at least on my side.
Yeah.
Of the
on
fence.
Your side, if there were feelings.
Yeah.
I'm curious. So I feel like I've always been bisexual, but I didn't really come out like as bisexual until probably what, 3-4 years ago? 4 or 5, maybe somewhere in that range.
About 4, I want to say.
And I definitely came out as bisexual before I even started playing with women.
Have you told mom?
Yeah. Well, I mean, dad found out from the pod, and then I'm pretty sure she found out. But actually, I don't know if I ever told
you
my
never
mother.
Told her point
blank. I never told her point blank. And that makes me wonder if maybe I should do that. But like, I remember for myself, I don't know if you have any like defining moments, but for me, when I was little, or at least when I was like younger, you know, so like 10, 12, like, you know, when I first started exploring things that were like sexual in nature, in the sense that like, you know, you start getting exposed to it, blah, blah, blah. I always found myself like more physically attracted to women, but like obviously romantically attracted to men. So it's like I'd want to date men and all those things, but like I'd see, you know, like in a movie there would be like a sex scene and like I would gravitate more towards a woman. Or like I remember my mom used to get the Victoria's Secret magazines and I was always like, they're so hot. I'm like, why am I turned on? I don't get it, you know. And so like it was, you know, when I look back at like my really young years, that's when I see like, oh, I was definitely bisexual. But I didn't really start exploring it until a couple of years ago. And it's just, it's fascinating because like I have completely different patterns with men and women. But, and I, you know, in the way that I interact with them too, but like I love them both. And so like for me, you know, but I think women have an easier time identifying as bisexual and all of that. But I'm curious, so like in your much younger years, so like even before high school, did any of that come up? Any moments that you can think of? And if not, that's okay.
Yeah, I don't really think there was any point in time in like at any point in time really in what I would term like childhood, like pre-adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, I was just kind of very shy in terms of any sort of like desire or attraction.
When did you start masturbating? If that's not too personal of a question.
No. So actually, I remember the exact circumstances. I was 13.
Okay.
And I had been visiting a friend and I had wrecked on his quad and cut up my arm real bad. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, ER trip, like stitches, the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
And I was so like hopped up from it that night that I could not sleep. And it was like 2 a.m. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. And then it was just like this like voice in the back of my head that was like, why don't you try masturbating?
Touch your penis.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Why don't you try masturbating? Yeah.
It really does stave off that final energy. It really just...
Yeah, wait, exactly.
That's what I'm curious about. Like when you would masturbate when you were like younger in your like teens, probably before you started having sex and all that, like did any of your fantasies include like men in those time frames? And it's okay if they didn't.
No.
Interesting.
No, really, okay. They didn't. I think there were a couple of like erotic dreams that I had that involved men, but never that I was directly involved with.
Interesting.
Which was, in fact, I really hope he never sees this, and I'm not going to name him by name, but I actually had a dream. I had a dream about my best friend getting pegged by a dominatrix.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
it was
hot.
Really hot to watch.
Yeah, that is hot. Holy shit. Okay.
Which I guess technically not wholeheartedly, you know, homoerotic, but it was definitely more like erotic for me because of like seeing him in that sexual context.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So like that's one example. There were a couple more that like I know are there, but I can't remember well enough
that's
to
okay.
articulate.
Totally fine. I mean, but I think the important part is like you weren't afraid of another guy being pleasured in your vicinity.
Right.
I feel like I, you know, especially when it comes to like men who are like, well, you know, there's no such thing as a bisexual man.
They're either gay or straight.
Yeah, it's like, and they're like, if you do anything that involves two men in the same room being pleasured, it's gay. And it's like, And that's just homophobia and misogyny and patriarchy and toxic masculinity all rolled up into one. And that's why men can't be bisexual. Yeah, but also,
like, you know, if you think about it, like, especially, like,
when you're at a sex party, there are straight men at a sex party that are pleasuring a woman while another dude is next to them, you know, doing whatever. So, like, they're both in the same room getting pleasured.
Which actually brings up my next question and something that, like, at least for me in my bisexual journey, I definitely think it's definitely a spectrum. And I think a lot, not to, you know, invalidate heterosexuality, but I do think a lot of people are somewhere on the spectrum. So, like, from your experience, you know, especially back to, like, what Camilla was saying, do you think a lot more men would maybe identify, like, either heteroflexible or bisexual if they got to kind of, like, take away all those, like, things? When it came to you, did you feel like, oh, this is probably something that's more common of an experience than you'd think? Kind of like those urges and everything.
Yeah, I really kind of think so. And I think that there's a lot about my journey and my experience and the way that that's shown up and the way I've moved through it. Mm-hmm. That is a holdover from a lot of all of those, like, things ending in, like, why, right?
Yeah.
Toxic masculinity, patriarchy, all of those
misogyny,
things.
Misogyny, yeah.
Misogyny, yeah. I think there's been a lot there for me in terms of, like, stuff that I've had to unpack and work on, even just to, like, come to grips and stare bald-faced at who I am and what I want in a given moment and allow myself to be honest with myself about that. So, yeah, I do definitely think that if we were to, like, just, you know, snap our fingers and all that goes away, I think that we might really be surprised to see a lot more men showing up in the flexible ranges of that spectrum than we otherwise might think, you know, because there's absolutely stigma that you can run into there, you know, and there's, even if the people around you aren't going to, like, carry through that stigma and put it on you, you're still at some level aware that it exists, and it can be really scary to just say, like, no, this is me and this is what I want, and just kind of take a deep breath and exhale all of that crap out of you and just be who you are.
You said something earlier that you said spontaneous desire. Like, do you think for a lot of men, it kind of comes up more in the moment, you know, kind of those, like, more flexible tendencies? For example, like, in a group setting, everyone's all hot and bothered and it's sexy, it's fun, it's hot, and they're feeling more.
My heteroflexibility is spontaneous.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, do you think that, like, in...
Hold on.
Sorry. That it tends to come up more, like, in the moment, like, because of kind of that spontaneous desire that arises. And then you're feeling maybe more comfortable, more vulnerable, more compelled to maybe give it a try. And then if the other man's obviously willing to try that.
Yeah.
Do you find that that's your experience, like, in terms of, like, your bodily reaction?
So I do. I've always actually heard it the opposite, where
really?
Spontaneous desire is when you're walking around and you see someone and you're like, wow, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And responsive desire, I've always heard,
oh,
is
you're
when
right.
you're, like,
yeah.
worked up to it. And I would
yeah.
say, though, to answer the intent of your question, like, absolutely, it's responsive for me. It has been relatively rare that I found myself looking at a guy in a non-sexual context and thought, and that's part of the what I see as, like, a question I have to answer to really, like, get down to the nuts and bolts of where I am sexually, is I don't really walk around and see guys and think, wow, absolutely, like, that, like, bring it here, give it to me. But in these, when I'm in these other contexts, it can sometimes be like, wow, there's something about this person that mm-hmm. is really bringing stuff up for me that I want to explore.
And you're right. It is responsive. Yeah. So, or it's more responsive rather than spontaneous. And that's
anyone's
how.
More spontaneous still.
You think yours is still spontaneous
mm-hmm.
for women or heteroflexibility?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So I, like, think so.
Like, you'll see a woman randomly and be like, oh, wow, I actually do think she's hot. I'll go.
Well, no, but it's only, well, no, I guess really mostly in the sense of, like, I have to think
so then
that
might be more responsive then, because you're already in that environment.
Yeah.
If you're
yeah,
in that environment, then yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I mix the two up, but you're absolutely right.
I don't always feel that reaction every time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's very, it has to be in that environment and then at a very specific moment.
Right.
So, like, maybe it's like a mix of the two.
Interesting.
Wait, so tell me, like, how, so, you know, at the beginning especially, and I feel like, because, like, for example, with me, like, I'm heteroflexible, and I feel like a lot of the reasons why, like, I won't go near a pussy is because of, I don't know if it actually attracts me, and then B, I feel like I would sort of almost shame myself for it, but that's just, like, old programming that I'm, you know, digging up sometimes, just because of my own masturbation journey, which is a different story that I've told on the pod. But anyway, my question was, like, especially when you, at the beginning, when you started exploring,
maybe like kissing men or like touching them anyways,
how did that start?
Like, did you have like those initial shame kind of moments when you, any times that you had like more of a physical contact with men?
I don't think it was really shame.
Lovely. Yeah, that's good.
Which is great.
That might have come from any like work you did before that.
Perhaps. I don't know. I think really like the first time I had any experience with like playing with another guy, the way I described it afterwards was benign.
Like, benign.
Like I didn't.
Did you tell it to him? Because I'm sure that's not what you're
No, absolutely not. But that's like funny. You know, it was in a threesome context, okay, and it didn't interrupt anything. It fit within the flow of all of, you know, what was going on, and it didn't cause me to like lose arousal or pull me out of it. But at the time I didn't feel like it really pulled me into it. In retrospect, I think that's far more a comment on the chemistry I had with that person,
mm-hmm,
as
mm-hmm,
opposed to anything else about me, because there have been other instances where there have been guys that I am very into, and it's like, this is actually like very arousing and very powerful. And so, which brings me back around to kind of one of the suspicions I have about myself as I continue to kind of unpack the broader sense of my sexuality and sort of deconstruct some of the really harmful, you know, patriarchal attitudes around, you know, male sex and libido. I'm finding that I'm actually pretty intensely demisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, especially, I suspect, with men. And so I feel like historically what I've really found is that the men I wind up most intensely attracted to, I have become very good friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And frequently the only way I wind up feeling safe enough to have the vulnerability to develop a deep friendship with this man is if he's straight or straight presenting. And that is kind of, that's like the O. Henry of it all, right? Like,
mental gymnastics.
Yeah,
that's weird as hell, right? Not very productive in terms of having an opportunity to really explore this about myself.
So you're attracted to people that have become your friends.
I get.
And you're attracted to what? You're attracted to people that are straight, but because they're straight, then they wouldn't maybe have sex with you or like hook up with you, maybe not have sex, but like.
Right. So like what I'm finding and suspecting about myself historically is the men that I feel safe enough developing a really close relationship with are typically heterosexual.
That might be because you have more patterns with heterosexual men.
Right.
If traditionally you've identified as heterosexual up until, mm-hmm, you know, more recently.
Right.
So you've like established the patterns in befriending heterosexual men.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that's what feels safe. That's what feels comfortable, but they end up being heterosexual. So there's not really the possibility for, you know, any sort of physical or like kind of romantic chemistry.
Right.
So then you'd have to, honestly, is something that reminds me of my own bisexual journey. It's like creating new patterns with, you know, whether that be gay men or bisexual men. You have to be like almost very intent about it. Otherwise, like you're just kind of in a place where you don't know what to do. For example, as I may be bisexual, but most of my life before that, I was heterosexual. I only dated men. I never hooked up with women. I never dated women. So whenever I'd start hooking up with women and I had feelings for them, I was like, okay, like I could maybe see where it could be more like, oh, maybe friends or maybe like friends with benefits or maybe have like more romance in this, but not like a full on relationship. I found it really hard to understand how to like act because I had never done that before. So I could see how for, you know, that could be kind of a similar experience.
Yeah, that whole description sounds very, very resonant,
yeah,
to me. And I think that you're absolutely right. Really, like the way to answer the question would be to just be brave and seek out someone where I knew that was a possibility with that intent from the beginning and see, mm-hmm, what sort of operating pattern I fall into and how, yeah, that goes and how it feels. That's a leap that I have yet to take.
That's okay. Take your time with it. I mean, I feel like for me, I don't think I really dated any women until, it wasn't until I was in kind of a throuple with my two dominants that I had.
I was going to say, you didn't really do it until about early last year.
Yeah, when I was in a throuple. And granted, that was still different because it was dating a couple. So that was like new on all fronts, you know, but I was still just kind of like, this is the first time that I'd ever like been in a space where I was like trying more romantic things with women. And it just felt so foreign to me because I'd never done it before. And we did actually do an episode once where I was like, I think I'm more romantically, you know, heterosexual, but more like physically bisexual or pansexual. And I do think for the most part that tends to be right based on my patterns. But like, I don't want to say that like I'm completely incapable of having like romantic feelings for women, because like I have had them in the past. Like, it's a journey that I'm still working on as well. And like, I ask bisexual people all the time, I'm like, how do you do it? Can you give me some? Because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, none of us do, right? We're all just figuring it out as we go.
Exactly. So if this isn't too personal of a question, I'm curious, like, to what extent have you physically played with men? And I guess I'm curious, like, what do you notice about your body in those moments or in those interactions?
So I've gone down on guys, and I've been gone down on usually in broader contexts, right? And that's been the extent of it so far. And I think for me, when I'm receiving pleasure in that way, it doesn't really feel any different to me than receiving, you know, oral pleasure from a woman. It really is just down to the person and, you know, who they are, how they're moving through the interaction and what they're doing. Their gender doesn't really play into it at all. And then giving, it's a little different for me than going down on a woman, because, and it's hard to really put my finger on distinctively. I guess I feel like going down on a woman is almost like an act of co-creation with her in terms of like working together in very different and complementary ways to like maximize her enjoyment of the experience. Whereas my experience going down on men has been a little more, I don't
primal?
Know. I was going to say combative.
Like
in terms of like, I guess kind of the energetic feeling of it. And again, not in like any sort of bad or dangerous way. It feels more like, I guess if we want to get like really metaphorical about it, going down on a woman feels a little bit to me like dancing, and going down on a man feels a little bit to me like wrestling.
I kind of like that.
Two very different energies.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, it's more masculine.
It's more masculine, yeah.
Women, it's more feminine. With men, it's more masculine. I think that's dope. So I was asking because like I find when I'm hooking up with women, I prefer to give because I tend to get more enjoyment out of that. And I don't mind receiving. It doesn't feel any different than it does receiving from a man. But I find that like with women, I like to give more than I like to give with men, which is an interesting observation and something that I always like ponder over. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. But it also just feels like, I remember one time, you know, I was hooking up with Elle and like we were just like kissing a little bit and like making out. And then like as soon as we, you know, started like going down on each other, like I was already just like so like primed and ready to go. More so than, I guess I just find that like arousal happens much quicker with women for me than it does with men. And I wonder for me if that's because like I tend to feel safer around women. I tend to feel more, maybe there's more kind of like that friendship that breeds more safety with a man, not as much. Or maybe it's just because like as the same gender, you just know that women get it, you know, whereas like maybe for men understand men more than a woman would, so then it's like they kind of get it. So I've always been curious about that, like if anyone else had that experience, because I find that my body tends to react faster to women. I tend to get more aroused by women, and I tend to want to be more giving with women. However, that doesn't change any of like my romantic or my sexual desires towards men, but those are observations that I've made in my own journey.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the concept of non-demand pleasuring?
No. Enlighten me. What is that?
So non-demand pleasuring is the idea of, and I might butcher this, and I don't remember the author of the book that I read this about this in, but it's the idea that you're opening a container for erotic exploration that has no duration, goal, or script. And it's purely just a safe place to give each other
mm-hmm.
pleasure, again, with no end goal in mind. So it could be just laying on the bed and making out until one or both of you is tired of making out, and then that's it, and you go and do something else. Or it could be that you engage in some touching that's erotic but not necessarily erogenous, right? Like, so caresses of like the arms or the side.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that there's always this safety to gently like see if escalation is going to happen, but mm-hmm. also gently kind of say, no, I like it right here for the foreseeable future. And
so that might be my case.
Well, I'm just wondering whether there's kind of this implicit expectation in a heterosexual context that there might be a point of no return where things are going to follow through to a very predictable conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Orgasm and then, mm-hmm. yeah.
And exactly. Whereas like in a homosexual context for you and, you know, playing with Al, it's more that you're both very well aware of how enjoyable you guys each find, like just laying there being with each other.
Mm.
And if there is an escalation, that there's not really a very clearly defined end point to that,
mm-hmm.
right? And nor is there a requirement for it to get to any given spot before one or the other of you says, you know, I think I'm ready to ramp it back down
mm-hmm.
or keep going. And I could really see there being a much greater sense of safety. And in my mind, safety breeds vulnerability, and mm-hmm. vulnerability is the key to good sex.
And, you know, arousal most of the time.
Right, exactly.
So maybe that's what it is for me. And I could see how, like, when it's, you know, two very feminine energies, that container might... It kind of reminds me when you were talking about the dance versus the wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder if, you know, when it's two women dancing together, you kind of have that non-demand where there's not really that end goal in sight. I'd be very curious to, like, hear from men, like, in their experience, if, like, the sex between men tends to feel more like, you know, you're both trying to get to that. Whatever that may be. I don't know. I think that if it's anything I've discovered in you know, having sex with men and women, that it's just, it is very different energies. And, like, it's fascinating to see how, like, I react different, how they react different, how my body reacts differently and all of that. So that might be it, though. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
You might have given me the answer to three of my top questions that I've always had. Because, like, I've always wondered, you know. So now, do you, like, have the desire to have sex with men? To, like, you know, like, maybe not instead of oral, but, like, full-on penetration? Does that come up? Or is that something that, like, you feel like you're still taking your time with deciding?
Yeah, that's something that... That's something that I'm moving slowly on.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some degree of desire there for that. You know, I've engaged in self-pleasure, you know, using anal play, and it's been enjoyable. And there's been, honestly, for me, there's been this sort of like, this feels pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's something I want to make part of my regular routine.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder whether it would be significantly better if it was another human being involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've heard from various people that I've known in just generally speaking on the topic of anal sex,
yeah.
like women and men. And so it's something that I'm open to generally.
Yeah.
I
could see that that's an area that takes a lot more preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So that more intimidation comes with it.
Right. And
yeah.
and even beyond the preparation, like, it's one thing to be emotionally vulnerable as a penis haver with, you know, in a sexual context with someone who has a vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's a whole different level of an emotional vulnerability than someone raised as like a cis man is accustomed to. And, you know, and I mean, and this is me speaking for me, for clarity's sake.
Yeah.
There's an additional level of vulnerability that's really profound as I think through like what it would take for me to really be comfortable
mm-hmm.
with that. And that kind of ties us right back to the sort of like trust, closeness, and vulnerability
yeah.
that I would require. I've only ever found myself having with men who have zero interest in the concept because they're straight. And that's yeah. sort of the rub of it for me.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
That's tough. So for you to do penetrative, like anal sex with a man, like you said earlier, you need that demi part of it. You need that intense connection. You need it. And I mean, if you haven't found that yet, like that's totally fine. It doesn't invalidate your bisexuality.
Right.
I think that's one thing that probably for a lot of men, I don't think they realize that there can be a spectrum to it because, yeah, if they're not ready to take someone, you know, up their ass because, like, that can feel like a very vulnerable thing. Like, that doesn't mean, like, you're not bisexual or, like, that's only, you know, that's the, like, epitome of bisexuality. Like, that's not it. You can, you know, if you're just willing to, like, play with men in oral sex or, you know, just have, like, intimate moments with men that, like, don't involve anal sex, like, that can still be just as much of, you know, the same experience as, you know, anal sex. And so I think that's a thing that a lot of men struggle with. They think, like, okay, if I'm bisexual, that means I have to fuck men. No. Like, you can simply be bisexual but be willing to, like, make out with men or just have intimate moments with them, like that. And I think that probably comes from the pattern, you know, back to the whole patterns thing, you know, where it's like for men having sex with women, you know, what is the pinnacle of it? Penetration.
Right.
So that's probably why they think, like, the pinnacle of bisexuality is penetration.
Right. Which, like, for the record, I think that's maybe the greatest disservice done to the male part of mankind.
Oh,
is that,
yeah,
concept.
1,000%.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Well, because everything's so penetration focused. And you're like, yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, not that long ago, I was playing with a play partner and he's 47. And I was like, have you ever had your toes sucked? You know?
Yeah.
And he was like, no. I was like, let's do it. He's like, I'm happy to try, you know, but I feel like,
right,
a lot of times in the sense of that, like, you know, a lot of times with men, like and I sucked his toes. He loved it.
Fantastic.
You know, you don't venture past like just sucking on the penis, like try everything else, the armpits, the back of the knee. I don't care. The toes, like, yeah,
right,
the neck.
So. Well, and even beyond physical contact, I think my very favorite sentence from The Ethical Slut, so much so that I have a picture of this page in my phone, at least two of them, because I couldn't find the first one when I had to send it to someone else. Mm-hmm. But my very favorite sentence from that book is, if you find yourself wondering whether you're having sex, you probably are. And the point they're making in that passage is expanding the definition of sex,
yeah,
beyond physical, to where, like, any point in which you're engaging in significant emotional intimacy and vulnerability with a counterparty, like, it can be sex, and like, and
or start, fall into the realm of sexual energy. Yeah.
Exactly. And starting there and then carrying it forward into, like, non-demand pleasuring, where, like, the whole point is you're not actually touching the sexy parts and you're just, you know, engaging in this and, like, moving through this whole process and, like, defining sex as the whole thing instead of just this part goes into this part, is immensely powerful.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, I'm like, curious.
Mutual masturbation, you know, that's right, also sex.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, that's true. And I love mutual masturbation. That's one of my favorite things. That is so underrated and so underused.
So vulnerable. So I haven't tried it yet.
Really? There was one time I was in Vegas with an old fling of mine and I was really horny, but I just did not want to have sex. And we've had sex before plenty of times that we've seen each other naked. Like, you know, we hooked up for some time. But I was like, we were laying on the bed and I just turned to him and I was like, hey, I don't feel like having sex right now, but I just want to masturbate to my favorite porn. And if you want to join me, you're welcome to. And he was thrilled. Absolutely, yeah, thrilled. And I just put on my favorite porno. I was, you know, taking care of myself. He was watching, taking care of himself. We both finished. I felt so gratified. Mm-hmm. You had sex. We had sex. Anyways, but what I was going to ask was, like, what moment or, like, what kind of experience, or maybe this just came from yourself, but, like, what kind of made you feel, like, validated or kind of, like, gave you the permission to be like, you know what, I am going to explore this? Because for me, at least, like, it wasn't until I read a lot of, like, books that featured, well, actually, we read a lot of reverse harems. And in a lot of those, like, the men would, you know, have sex with each other, but, like, still be, like, super romantically interested in this one girl. And so I'm like, okay, if they can do it, I can do it. And I was like, I can explore my bisexuality and it doesn't have to, like, affect. Because I think that was, for me, that was a big fear. I was like, okay, I'm married to a man. If I start exploring my bisexuality, does that mean I'm going to, like, you know, like, what does that look like? Am I going to...
Did you think you're going to be lesbian?
I don't know. I wasn't sure. But there was, it was just new for me. And it brought up a lot of, like, interesting feelings. And so it wasn't until I saw that that I was like, okay, I can explore this. Like, I'm going to give myself, like, the permission to just, like, give it a try. So I'm curious, like, if you had any of those moments or, like, if there was anything that made you feel, like, valid in exploring your bisexuality.
Really, I think honestly, it was just winding up in a threesome context with a guy I was actually into.
Okay.
And,
so in that moment, you're like, I'm going to allow myself to go do this.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just like, wow, like, this is like, I'm really into this guy. He's really cool. He's very into me and also my partner. And, yeah, it felt very good and very, very positive. And it made it very easy to say, huh, this is absolutely something that I think I want to explore and think about. And, you know, and then from there, from that point, I was starting to pay more attention to it. And I found myself in a few other contexts, at sex parties and so forth, where it was just like, similar thing, like, this guy's energy is excellent and like, it's doing the right stuff, and I'm gonna try this and I'm gonna go forward.
Nice. And what has been, like, your favorite? I know I have mine, but what has been your, like, favorite bisexual moment, if you can think of one? If there's one that, like, really, like, filled your cup up to the brim, I'm curious to hear it. And if nothing comes to mind, that's totally okay.
So this is gonna be awful, like 50s soda fountain of me, but actually it was very much like a bit of a bi/poly moment. Do you remember? And I'll caveat this by saying you can edit out any of this that needs to be, because I don't know what the guidelines are. But do you remember when we were leaving EDC the second night and and I kissed Cody, L, and you goodbye in succession, like, and we all, like, individually made out with each other and then, like, went our separate ways.
Uh-huh.
That is probably the fullest my cup has been in any sort of bisexual context.
Oh.
I know.
We can make out after this.
Okay, great. Fantastic.
I love that, because that actually reminds me of my moment.
Mm.
Which was also, wait, before you say that, my favorite thing after that, because it was like, what, 5 a.m. the sun was coming up, we were all walking back, just like, the I look back when you're making out with Cody and everyone in the back is just like like, they're just watching, and I'm like, yeah, I want to be in between them. And like, I was just so thrilled. Oh, it was so good. It was such a fun moment.
It was beautiful.
EDC was so fun. Well, for me, it was when I was with my two doms, and we were all going to, where do we go? Dave and Buster's. Mm-hmm. And we were just, like, playing, like, the little games, getting super competitive or whatever. And it was kind of one of those, like, similar moments. Granted, it was, like, I'm trying to think. It wasn't towards the end of the night. But anyways, I just remember her and I had, like, just, like, finished competing in something. And when we finished, we, like, had a big hug and, like, kissed, and, you know, it was very just, like, cute, nothing, like, super sexual or anything. And then we, like, both turned and we, like, linked our arms around our male dom, and we all, like, walked arm in arm, and, you know, it was, like, the three of us. And I just remember, because that was a guy that I had feelings for, and that was a girl I had feelings for, and, like, you know, we were just all together happy and, you know, in our energy, and, like, it just felt really nice. And I just remember, like, that was one of, like, my peak. You can be both and be bisexual. Can
I have love both, that both, yeah, of y'all's little special bi moments were non-sexual.
Yeah. Yeah. To be honest. Oh, I guess, though, my second one would be at a sex party. Yeah, this is definitely my second one. Mm-hmm. I had just gone down on a girl, And my other friend walked up and she was like, did she just go down on you? And the girl was like, yeah, she was amazing. And she was like, best head I've ever had, both of them. And I was like, thank you. Aww. I put a lot of work into this. Because I've really tried to make sure I've under, you know, like I know my own vagina, but you know, anyways, that was, mm-hmm. that was probably my second one. But my peak one was when I was at the two of them and I felt like I was like, yeah, I can have, you can have both and it doesn't like invalidate the other. It's just interesting, like what comes with bisexuality because, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, like we said earlier, a lot of it comes from, you know, just the way that we've all grown and the environment around us that teaches us that you're only supposed to like one gender and you got to pick a side.
Right.
And it's especially worse for men, to be honest.
Right.
And that was what was really like the clip Camilla was talking about earlier was we were talking about in a recent episode,
I was talking about a book that I had read and in the book,
yeah.
it was two men that were in love with each other and they were both in love with another girl. So they were a throuple. Mm-hmm. And in one scene, it was the guy was fucking one guy while the other guy was fucking the girl. So like a little train. Mm-hmm. And everybody in the comment section just lost it.
They're like, so he's gay.
They're like, so he's
gay. Two men are not supposed to be having sex with each other. And then I'm like, if this was a clip about, you know, two girls having sex with one guy, no one would say a word. In fact, that's everyone's fantasy. But you know,
what I love, especially like about everything you just explained in your journey is that like you're bisexual and I mean, have you pegged a man? No. And it's like, why? There's just so much emphasis on like, you know, the asshole is gay. And it's like, but is it?
No, it's not.
No.
So you're bisexual and you haven't, you know, you haven't ventured there yet. And that's totally okay. And you're still bisexual. And like, that's
and
like
when you do that, doesn't change your bisexuality.
I don't know if we can say that. We should wait and see what the comments section has to say about no! that. Before we say I'm
this is
I'm
just like
bisexual.
The big point I was trying to make with this episode, okay? Is like, look at this. Like,
but you know
look
what?
At it.
But you know what I've loved hearing about your journey is, and something that I also kind of find fascinating. And again, maybe it has a lot to do with like any, you know, because I know you're very introspective and, you know, maybe it has to do with like a lot of the work that you've done in terms of like polyamory and just like changing your views. But, you know, like when you said, for example, that like you didn't necessarily have a lot of shame with it or like, you know, in the moment you just kind of like gave yourself the permission to do so. Like, I think that's amazing because I don't know that a lot of people would.
Exactly.
I think so many people would like immediately get in their own ways. And so like it just makes me so proud to hear you say that like you have not stood in your own way and that that's made you have like, you know, these phenomenal experiences like the one that you said about, you know, you guys all making out or like, you know, exploring in that threesome and all those things. It's like you didn't get in your own way and like that's only contributed to your happiness. And like I feel like so many men, I wish that they would do the same, you know, get out of their own way, explore whatever it is that they want to explore without shame, without whatever, give themselves a validation and just see what happens. And that doesn't have to change anything about who you are as a person.
Kiss the homies.
Yeah.
Kiss
the
homies.
Kiss
the
homies goodnight. That's what it is right there.
But yeah, I guess like what would be your, you know, like what would be your final message to any of the men out there that have like ever even had an inkling about it?
You know, I think I'll go broader than that and tie it back into what you just said and just say that like life's too short, guys. Like you know, do no harm, but do what you want to do. Like sit with yourself, figure out what it is you want and be honest and real about it. And like the reality is like the worst case scenario for me, if anyone that I truly care about, who truly cared about me, were to see this episode and disown me, like seriously 15-20 years, they're all going to be gone. Another 40-50, I'm going to be gone. We're all going to be dust. Let's have some fun while we're here. Let's live the lives we want to live.
Exactly.
1000%.
It's like trying out pasta, okay? Like you want to try that new
that was all of all the things.
I'm just saying, like, you know, you're not afraid of trying that new pasta flavor or that new spicy sauce that they released at Trader Joe's, but you're afraid to like just kiss a dude. Come on, like just live a little, you know. So I love that we are here just to have fun.
Kiss the homies.
Kiss the homies. You know, and that's why, like, you know, for me, for example, you know, in my journey of whether or not I like women or how I like women or how, you know, because I've always found the women body, like, beautiful. You know, there have always been moments where I'm like, oh, you know, do I really want to do this? What does that mean for me? But then there are other times where it's just like, I love boobs in my face. I will not deny myself that.
And I think that's, yeah, you know, for you, for example, like you've kissed women and you're not sitting there like, oh man, that makes me a lesbian.
No, exactly. Shit. Exactly.
You know, where it's like, where I think men, as soon as they're like, oh man, I kissed a guy, that makes me gay. You don't have to, like, I think it's great that for you, you're able to be like, even if I just have oral sex with a guy and, you know, I want to consider myself bisexual and I feel like good with that title or that, you know, whatever, like, I'm good with that. But if someone else wants to be like, you know, for me, I'm heteroflexible because I don't mind if a man touches my penis every now and then and, you know, that's it, then that's totally fine. Like, do what resonates with you and do what makes you happy.
And see, really, I think the thing is, like, if you're doing what resonates with you, oh man, I kissed a guy, that makes me Sean.
Yeah.
Right? And that's it.
I do love that.
Like,
doesn't
are
matter.
You being you?
Yeah.
Do that.
Doesn't change anything about you.
I'm so glad we had you on here. Okay. We don't need to tag your socials. But, you know, people, I hope you can see how wonderful of a man Sean is. I'm a huge fan, as you can see.
Thanks, baby.
Oh.
But yeah, we like, you know, plug yourself, but you don't have to do that if you don't want to. But we can just end in our usual, we are condoms.
But really, I am so proud of you. This has been a great episode. I've loved hearing about your journey. I'd love to hear more. But anyways, thank you for joining us.
This has been wonderful. I've really enjoyed talking to you both.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for giving me a possible answer to my issue or my question. It's not an issue, it's questions. Non-demand. Right. What was it? Non-demand?
Non-demand pleasuring.
Non-demand pleasuring. I'm going to look that up.
You should.
You said there was a book.
The book uses it as a tool to solve a particular, like, long-term relational problem. But I think it's a really immensely useful concept for anyone who's having sex with anyone else.
Dope. I'll look it up. But thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Sean, again for joining us.
Absolutely.
You all have a great rest of your day, week, weekend, whatever. And we'll see you next time.
And two things to remember. The asshole is not gay. We just have fun. Kiss the homies.
Kiss the homies.
Kiss the homies.
I think that's what we should talk about.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.